Good morning, everybody. We're just going to take a minute to pray for Marty. She's possibly having a seizure over there in the hallway, and the ambulance is on the way. So we just want to agree, touch and agree in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, God. And we just ask for Marty, Lord, that you would just lift her up, God, that you would bring healing to her body, God, and that you would bring peace to her mind, Lord. For your word says that by your stripes we are healed, God. And we believe in this word, God, and we believe in your healing, and we believe in miracles, God. And we pray, Lord, that you would rebuke the enemy that tries to attack her body, God, and that you would cancel this assignment that's been assigned to her, Lord, and that she would get to walk in the newness of life, Lord, spiritually and in her physical body, Lord. And we just pray, God, that when the ambulance driver gets here, Lord, that they treat her with great care, Lord, and that she feels cared for by everyone here, everyone at the hospital, whatever she needs, God. We just pray that you would minister to her and have angels encamping about her, God, just taking care of her every step of the way, Lord. And even if she's unconscious, God, speak to her heart, Lord, and bring her peace and joy that surpasses all understanding, God. And let her know that you're working all things together for her good, and that you do care about her, and you care about her healing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, her whole well-being, God. And so we pray that you take care of every facet of that in her life and begin to work right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ed.
Have at it.
Yes. Praise God. Well, let's just pray one more time. I want to pray and ask the Lord to be with us as we come together to learn. Father, we just come to you again, knocking on heaven's door, Lord, and we just pray that you open the store gates of heaven, Father, and that you pour out wisdom from above into our hearts and to our minds, and that you teach us and lead us in the ways of Jesus, Lord, and that you help us to look more, act more, walk more like your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. And we just pray, Lord, that we would have a teachable heart today, Lord, as we learn about this subject that you've given me, Lord. And I pray that it cause us to be fruitful and grow in maturity in the kingdom of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would squeeze that anointing out of us, God. And Lord, we just pray that your spirit would be here with us, leading and guiding us into all truth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week we were in John and we was talking about one of the reasons why it's important to remain teachable, and the goal is so that we can gain wisdom. That's one of the goals. And so we covered that pretty thoroughly, and we had some good examples of that, Ed. And so I really appreciate everybody participating in that. I just want to say I'm still kind of reeling in from yesterday, because we had a ministry event yesterday, and I just showed up to one, and I wasn't planning on speaking, and then somebody asked me to speak, and I was like, well, I just know that the Lord says, you know, if you open your mouth, he'll fill it. And it's crazy. I just want to tell y'all about this experience, because I was sitting there, and one man had already said, you know, we need to get you up there to share. And I'm like, well, you know, whatever the Lord leads. And we sit down, and that man's brother was the one preaching at the time. He's the one holding the event. And while he was preaching, man, he was on fire. I mean, he was lit up, and I was like, man, he is going at it. Like, there ain't no way I can follow that up. You know, he's just doing a fantastic job, and he had everybody praising God and all that. And usually I'm excited about, like, when I know I'm going to speak at an event, I'm excited about it, and I just have, like, this fire, like, it's, like, burning in my belly, like, I got to go, like, it's hard to hold me back, you know, but I didn't have that. I didn't have the excitement about it. I didn't know what I was going to say. I usually got the words, like, going through my mind. I'm kind of meditating on what I'll say before I say it, and I didn't have any of that. I was just like, Lord, I just want to hear what you're saying through this man. You know, he's on fire, and I just want to hear what he's got to say. But eventually, he did get done, and somebody else shared their testimony, and finally he did come ask me to speak. And I got up there, and I just like, I know the Lord will give me something, and I just started talking, and like 15 minutes in, I'm just like on fire, like pacing back and forth and excited and talking about the Lord. And then I was excited. You know, that excitement that I was used to having at the beginning, I got it while I was teaching up there, preaching or sharing, whatever. And then I realized there was this old man, and he was sitting right beside the people on the microphone, and he was just sitting here, and he had his cane. And I thought maybe he was blind or something because he had his eyes closed the whole time. And he was just sitting there like this. And I realized later the Lord showed me that that man was sitting there praying for everybody that was speaking. And he was praying for the anointing to come on people. And so what happened is I just walked into the anointing that he was sitting there praying for the whole time. It was amazing, and I felt that anointing. And then when it lifted, boom, I was like, yep, well, that's over, but praise God, I enjoyed that ride. It was amazing. And so I just say that to say that, you know, you can be a participant even, like, right in your seat. You know what I mean? Like, we come into services, and we come here to hopefully not be entertained, but we come to be a part of the experience, right? But you can actually provide something by sitting there praying for the anointing to come on the worship service. Pray for the anointing to come on the speaker. Pray for the anointing to come on us who are listening and watch God move in a mighty way. I mean, I'm talking about organic stuff. I'm not talking about the generic stuff. I mean, real life. Like, this is how God moves. He's not like you sit down and you know, I got this Bible study. I took months and I prepared this stuff, but I like to see God move outside of the script. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, if you will participate in that way and you get to see God move in that way, it does something to you. It's exciting. I mean, it's truly exciting. And I love what John Piper says. He says, God is most glorified when we are most excited about him. When other people see the excitement on you about the Lord, then it brings glory to him. You know, he is magnified. And you know what Jesus said, that if he be lifted up, that he will draw all men unto himself. And really, that's our goal. Ed, go ahead.
Just tweaking the John Piper quote.
Yeah. Most satisfied. Yeah.
And that's exciting.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. John Piper did say it that way. He said, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. But it's a beautiful concept. Absolutely. But anyways, so I just want to share that with y'all because that taught me something through that experience, that man was sitting there, and because later I realized that he wasn't, because he was quiet, he was praying with his eyes closed, and I didn't realize that's what he was doing at first, but then at the end, he was the last one to actually share something. Of course, he opened his eyes, and he perked up, and he started sharing. I'm like, we've been here for an hour and a half, and I've seen that man sitting there like this, and I thought he was just blind and just listening to the word. You know, but no, he wasn't. He was just praying the whole time. I'm talking about an hour and a half praying, like getting everybody fired up. And you don't even realize, you know, it talks about God has distributed many, many fold grace to us and that we should steward it well, right? And it talks about giving, he gives more honor to the parts of the body that are not seen. Right? And we tend to give more honor to the parts of the body that are seen. Now, there's nothing wrong with honoring our pastor or with honoring a teacher, with honoring an apostle, evangelist, all these things. But we give more honor to those. But God says that I give more honor to the body parts that you do not see. Somebody has to come in here and clean the toilets. And God gives more glory. He gives more honor to that person or the person who sweeps the floor up after an event than he does the person that was up there speaking the word of God. That's what it says. So anyways, I was just really moved by the power. And then we were praying for other people afterwards. And I knew it all stemmed from that man who was sitting in there praying that whole time. I mean, just bringing down fire from heaven. So I just want to encourage you that you can be a participant even just sitting where you're at. You know, you can help change the atmosphere of how things are going to go in here today by your prayer. You know, if you're not satisfied with how the service is going, or you don't like a certain thing about it, don't complain about it, and don't complain in your mind. Just start praying and thanking God in advance. It's amazing what that will do. But anyways, so my last week, I wanted to share that experience because it taught me something. And last week, I had taught about remaining teachable and how Jesus taught through an experience for people to remain teachable and to stay humble. And so I wanted to share that experience as well. But the first scripture that we're going to talk about is Mark 4:25. And this is out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. And whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken away from him." So there is science that proves that if we don't use our memory or exercise our brains, we will lose those brain cells. And conversely, there is science that proves that the more we use our brains, the more we stimulate and exercise our brains, we can actually grow more brain cells. In other words, our study and meditation of the scriptures allows our brains to develop the ability to be able to memorize more scriptures. There's this lady, fantastic lady that I've been watching online, and her name is Dr. Barbara O'Neill. And I don't say that you should go out and just pick one thing off the line and just, you know, take that as the gospel. But if you can do some research like I did and see what this lady was saying and see if it's backed up by four or five other different studies that it's true, and it is, then go for it. You know, there's a plethora of information out there that you can find that's wonderful. And Dr. Barbara O'Neill is on YouTube, and I did put this on your sheet. That way, if you want to take your sheet home and you want to look up this video, there's several others that you could probably benefit from. She's a holistic doctor, and she's also a Christian. And it was just amazing the things that she was teaching as I was trying to follow along with her. But she explains that there are three things that cause a dendrite to grow in the brain. And I just want to share real quick what a dendrite is. So, you got a brain cell, say that's it right there, right? And then you've got these little branches that come off of the brain cell. And then off of those branches, there's little limbs, right? And these are dendrites. So these little twigs that come off of the branches are called dendrites. And see, another brain cell says over here, and it doesn't actually touch the other brain cell, but through these dendrites and a chemical reaction, they communicate with each other, okay? So when we grow these new dendrites, what they're responsible for is receiving information. They receive the information, and then they help us to be able to remember experiences. They program that experience into the brain cell, okay? And so if we're able to grow more of these, we're able to receive and remember more things, okay? And so she does a lot better job explaining that, so you had to check her out. But she said that there's three different things that cause these dendrites to grow. And one is learning a new language. And for me, I'll tell you, I've learned a little bit of Spanish, you know, but I've never learned a whole nother language. But for me, just learning how not to talk the way I used to talk was like learning a new language, you know? I'm just telling you the truth. That was like learning a new language for me. Yeah. But, yeah, it is. All right. Another one is learning an instrument. And I used to play the guitar. I was never really well at it, but I did enjoy it. And, you know, when you learn an instrument like that, it does take some dedication. It takes some memorization and working through the through the motions, and it helps stimulate these dendrites in the brain. And finally, and the most important one to me is memorizing Bible verses. So I thought that was pretty amazing that memorizing Bible verses allows us to grow more dendrites, which in turn allows us to have more memory capabilities to learn more Bible scriptures. That's pretty deep to me. So look, the old saying is definitely true, and you've all heard it, that if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Well, that's true with your memory. You know, if you don't use it, you will lose it. But we can see that this scripture has been proven true in Matthew 4:25, because it says, the amount that you try to learn and understand the word of God, the more ability to be able to understand will be given to you. And so now this is absolutely true in a spiritual sense, but it's also been proven on a biological level. And to me, when something like that happens, it's not only awesome, but it's astounding to me that God can take something that's in his word like that, and we say, okay, this has a spiritual concept, but, you know, where's the scientific proof? But now they're being able to prove these things scientifically, and to me, that's fantastic. See, those who are hungry for the truth and are humble in spirit, those are the ones God is willing to give more understanding. But why would God take understanding? But why would God take away what understanding we do have if we do not have a teachable heart? Because what did it say in Matthew 4:25? It says that, and whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what little he does have will be taken away from him. So why would God do that? Why would he take, if you have just a little bit of understanding, then why would he take away what little bit of understanding you do have? Well, first of all, it's because you don't have a yearning to learn more. If you don't want to go deeper with God, then he's going to take away the things that you already think that you do know. And also, it's because we're not stewarding well what he has given us. You know, we can take the knowledge and understanding that he gives us as a gift, and we can become prideful as if we know it all. We can think that we know it all, and we have no reason to study and to search. We no longer learn because we don't think we have a need to. But remember that knowledge puffs up, but it's love that edifies. And remember, the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I was thinking about, let me see if I can try to draw a little something right here. I got a picture in my mind, and I'm not an artist or anything, but I'm going to try to do this right here. So I picture like two, I'm going to draw some little stick figures so y'all don't laugh at me. Just try to follow along here. I imagine, okay, you got two men, and yes, these men are not in any kind of position, but you can use your imagination. The size is the most important thing here, and they're football players, right? This guy's number two, this guy's number three, and they're opposing each other. Imagine linemen, right, standing on the front line, and they're opposing each other. Well, generally, like linemen, they come up, boom, and then they're like basically stuck on the line. They, you know, not much of them are really throwing each other out of the way. They're usually just head-to-head because these men are about the same size. Well, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, right? So this is me. And then when I'm prideful, God says, yeah, you know, I was like this right here. We were eye to eye. You know, before pride comes in, you can be eye to eye with God, and you can walk on the same level with him because we're co-laborers with Jesus Christ, right? He wants to co-labor with us. But see, he is the king of the universe, God Almighty, and he humbled himself to become lowly and took on the form of a bondservant, right? So he made himself on our level so that we could see eye to eye together and co-labor together. But in reality, when we forget that we're co-laborers and we get prideful because of some revelation and we try to start beating up people with the word, then all of a sudden God says, I just want to remind you that this God opposes the proud, and now you see this little guy right here? Very cute. And this is God, and this is a poor representation, but I think you get the picture. Now you got God opposing the proud. Here you are being proud, right? Yeah, I know it all. I done learned this scripture, and you're out here beating people up with the word, right? But then this is God. So imagine if you had a lineman this size and a lineman this size, and they collide. What's going to happen, you know? But anyways, if we humble ourselves, if we make ourselves this size, it says he gives grace. So he empowers us with his spiritual gifts, and then we feel like this guy right here. That's an S for Superman, but that's if we humble ourselves. He gives grace to us that makes us feel like that, because it says that he will exalt you in due time. You know, if you will humble yourselves, that he will exalt you. But if you exalt yourselves, he will humble you. And so that's just a picture that I get when we talk about this. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So he will lift you up. If you want to make yourself that size, he's going to humble you and make you feel small. But if you make yourself small and you make yourself the servant, then he will lift you up to these high places. But let's take a little deeper look into the passage in Mark chapter 4. And we're going to look at it. These scriptures are in the NLT. And this is the parable of the lamp. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Jesus told the disciples to pay close attention to what you hear. In other words, we need to carve out time where we meditate on the scriptures and block out all outside distractions so that we can focus on what he is really saying. And early in the morning is a good time to be doing that. You know, before you get the day started, still dark outside, nobody else is up, just go in there and start. You know, if you wake up early, take it as God trying to get your attention and start reading the word and start praying and find out what is God trying to say to me today, you know, because I guarantee you, you won't hear him in the busyness of life. You'll hear him in the small, still voice in the quiet in the morning when you're alone with him and you have made a dedication to set aside this time. I'm going to seek the Lord and he will meet you there every time. Amen. Yep. Amen. I love it. That's where my Bibles are. Yeah, Ed. Yep.
That has a lot. Has just tons of like Bible reading programs already done out. Mm-hmm. It comes up on your phone. If you want to, you can hit a little button and it'll read it out loud to you.
Yep, I do that too.
Have little,
yep.
Little commentaries, little videos that go with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been trying to read the Bible through every year. Last 50 years, and some of the best times I've had are in the last couple of years doing this online stuff and the little extra things. Anyway, it's very powerful and very it's a real blessing.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, it is a fantastic app. And I love it. Yeah, Jeff.
Denzel Washington one time, he said, put your Bible under your bed. That way when you get up, you have to get on your knees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pray, and then get your Bible.
Yep. I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. And without taking it out of context, because it's just a wonderful way, whatever way you find to get the word in you,
yep.
Put it on the back of the toilet. You got that much time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You'll make that time.
Yep. Yes, you will. I like to take my my Bible app, and I listen to Scripture while I'm in the shower. Yeah, so every day when I come home, as I'm getting ready to get in the shower, I start playing the Scripture. And even if my mind wanders a little bit, I feel like I'm being washed, you know, physically, but I'm also being washed because Jesus said, you are clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. And so we just got His Word just washing over us. It's kind of like symbolic, too. You know, you think about it. You're in the shower. You're getting clean. But you have His Word playing, and it's washing you clean on the inside because that's what He wants to do. He wants to clean us up, you know. He wants to get all the dirt and the trash out and any stain that we feel like we have from past sins. He wants to get it off of us. So Jesus goes on to say, the more we listen, the more that we will understand. In other words, the more we come before Him and quiet our souls to focus on Him and meditate on His Word, the more understanding He will grant to us. A little earlier in this chapter, the disciples asked Jesus why He spoke in parables, and His reply is in Mark 4, verse 11. So they asked Him, they said, Lord, why do You speak in parables? You know, this is confusing, and nobody can understand what You're saying, you know. And He replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders. Notice here in the NLT that it calls it the secrets of the kingdom. In other translations, it says the mystery of the kingdom. You know, we have this phrase, and it says, and the light bulb came on. You know what I'm talking about? And what it means is, it's like we had an epiphany, or we all of a sudden we gained a revelation or insight about something that prior to we didn't have insight about it. Jesus is saying that no one hides a light, but they let it shine for all to see. And what He's talking about, this mystery or this secret of the kingdom, and then He's talking about this light over there, Mark 4, 21 through 25, that light is a revelation. So the light that you get, He takes it and He puts it on a stand so that everybody around can see that same revelation. He's saying, don't take it and try to hide it under a bushel, you know. Don't try to hide it under a lampshade, but take it and let everybody know about it so that other people can receive the same light and the same revelation that you got from that word. Share it and let other people receive that revelation. But why would he take a mystery or a secret of the kingdom of God and hide it where nobody can see it or understand it? Because that's basically what this parable is doing. When he speaks in parables, he's taking a secret of the kingdom of God and he's hiding it that's what he said, so that they don't understand it, but to you it's been granted to understand. He does it because he wants us to humble ourselves and search for it so that it'll be revealed to us. He wants us to seek Him. That's what it's all about. He's hiding it so that you'll seek Him for the gaining of the understanding for it. In Proverbs 25:2, this is in the NASB first, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. So in other words, it's the character of God to conceal a matter, and it's the character of kings to go and search out a matter, to do a little digging and to investigate. Proverbs 25:2 in the NLT says it this way: it is God's privilege to conceal things, and the king's privilege to discover them. See, in Revelation 1:6, it says, we are called kings and priests. So it's God's joyful right to hide a thing, and it's our delightful response to go and uncover a thing. This is what it makes me think about. I personally don't celebrate Easter, but I did as a kid. And it makes me think about, you know, a parent when they're getting these eggs ready, right, to go hide them to celebrate Easter. And the parents and the grandparents are full of joy because they know that they're about to go play this game with their grandkids, right, and that they're going to have a blast finding these eggs and discovering some. You know, I think about the plastic ones that had, like, when I was little, they might have a little piece of chocolate in them or a nickel. A nickel. I'm sure that's probably, today that's probably like $5 and $10 bills up in there, but we got nickels. So anyways, I think about them hiding these eggs with these nickels and with this chocolate in them. And they're excited because they know they're going to get to watch these kids go around and search for it. And they're in all kind of different crazy places, just places you wouldn't think about. And then they find them and they open them up. And they're so excited that they got their, I'm sure it's probably a dollar bill or $5 bill or whatever today. They're so excited. They're a piece of chocolate. Even when I was little, we had dyed eggs. And I would just be excited to find that, you know, just because it's part of the game. And I was just a kid, you know, but God is the same way that these grandparents and parents are hiding these eggs for these children to go search out and find and to enjoy what's inside them. God is doing the same thing for us, and he has treasures inside of his word that are hidden there, little treasures that he intends for us. He wants us to find them. But he's hiding them because it's fun for us to search him out and to seek him for it.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Egg hunts all year are really fun. And what you can do instead of candy and money for those purposes is you can put scripture in eggs.
Yeah.
And you can also put money in eggs and then have your kids take that money and spend it on, like, buying a homeless person a meal. So you can still do fun things like that with your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, well, praise God. Yeah.
Where can I get a bunny that lays eggs?
I don't know. So, Amanda.
One of the things I was thinking about as you were talking about hiding eggs is when we would hide eggs at our church did an egg hunt when I was a kid, and we had different areas we would hide eggs in for kids of different ages, so the little kids' eggs were really easy to find. Mm.
Yeah.
And challenging for them to find it. And I think God does the same thing for us as we mature as believers, that, like, there's things that we are not ready to know, that we're not ready to understand because we're not mature enough.
Amen.
And then the more that we mature in Christ, the more that he can reveal more and more complex things to us than he did when we were babies.
Absolutely. And I know for sure that's a fact, because when I first got born again, it seemed like everything I read, it was like, boof, 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 like light bulbs going off all over the place. Like, what? Wow, this is amazing, you know, this understanding. And now it's not as common for those light bulbs to go off, but when they do, they're still exciting. You know, it's enough to keep me going for sure, but absolutely. But all of this stems from having a teachable heart, you know, because if we don't have a teachable heart and we're not willing to try to learn and seek after God and search in his word and take the time to spend to look after these things, he's not going to reveal them to us. You know, we got to seek after them to find them. If we come into this thing thinking that we already know all there is to know about this scripture or this facet of God, then we have shut ourselves off from the possibility of learning anything new from God. I thought about, I was talking to a brother about this last week, and, you know, John 3:16 came to my mind. Everybody knows that scripture, and so you may just hear it and you kind of get numb to what it really means because you hear it so much. And if you think, yeah, I've heard that scripture 1,000 times, I already know what it means. Well, if somebody gets to speaking about it and sharing a revelation about it, you're not going to receive that revelation because you already think that you know all there is to know about it. But even a simple scripture like that, there is more to understand about that. There's more things that we can't even fathom. God's wisdom is so deep that we just barely scratch the surface of it. Remember, Paul said that the wisdom of God is manifold, and that means that it has many sides to it. There's many facets of it. So even when you learn about one topic or scripture, God has many things to show us and teach us about it. I'm convinced that a single lifetime is not enough to just barely scratch the surface at understanding the true depth of the Holy Scriptures. And a lifetime is barely enough to put into practice the things that we learn from them. I think we'll still be, you know, we're going to know all things, is what the Word says when we get to heaven, but we'll still be like mind blown at the things we were, you know, the things that he takes and reveals to us that was here before, but we just won't be able to see them until we have eyes to see like he does. 1 Corinthians 3:18 in the NLT says, "Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you're wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise." In other words, get to the place where you realize that you don't know it all. And when I'm preaching and teaching this, I'm preaching and teaching to me. I need to get to the place where I don't think that I know it all so that there is room to grow in the wisdom of God. Because again, James 4 says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Grace is given when we are humble. In other words, God's divine influence, his wisdom and favor is poured out of the store gates of heaven when we are lowly. God was giving me this yesterday while I was sharing my testimony. Take the low road to get to the high places. You know, take the low road to get to the high road. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11:29. This is the last scripture here. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The fact is that in order for Jesus to be able to teach us anything, we must first become humble and gentle at heart. But check it out. It says, that's all right, because I'm wrapping it up anyways. Praise God. I timed it perfect this week, man, because I'm on the last one. So the fact is that in order for Jesus to be able to teach us anything, we must first become humble and gentle at heart. He says, when you do this, you will find rest for your souls, so you can cease from trying to be all that and instead rely on him who is all that. That's all I have for you this week. Just remember that God, he wants to give us rest for our souls, and he says that if we will remain teachable, take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We can wear ourselves out trying to go and do things our own way and without him, but if we will humble ourselves and take the low road, and just remember that we don't know everything, and we can learn anything. We can go into any church setting. I used to go, when I first got saved, I would go into a holiness church and listen to the pastor preach on Sunday. I would go to a Pentecostal revival during the week. I would go to Brother Rick Owens Church, kind of like a non-denominational but Baptist leaning, I believe. I mean, I would go in every setting, and although I didn't always agree with everything 100%, I knew that I could learn something from there if God was there, because he is the one who's teaching and leading us and guiding us into all truth. So let's just remain teachable, and you will find that God will show you many more things than you already know. And it's a wonderful, exciting trip to just grab a wave as it comes by. You know, the Holy Spirit is just moving like a wave, and just grab one and just ride along wherever it goes. And you never know where you're going to end up, but it's a fantastic ride. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, God, and we thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that there would be fruit to grow in people's lives and in their understanding would be opening, that our hearts would be moved, God, and that we would begin to live out what this word says and to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We pray, God, for the anointing of the worship service today, God, that people would begin to have breakthrough as we praise your name, God, and we give glory to you, the God of all heaven, the creator of the whole universe, Lord. And we just pray that you would come down here and be with your people and teach and lead and guide us into all truth and allow us to have an experience with you, a real experience that's life-changing, and we would leave out of here different than the way we came in. We just pray in the power and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.